sure if you're like me, you heard that when you were in Sunday school growing up. Powerful story, and we're going to be looking at that this morning. We live in a culture today that just about anything goes. You don't hear a lot about the subject of living a life of integrity or having morals or living a life of holiness. Really, today, a lot of things have changed. I mean, if you want to live with somebody before you're married, the world thinks it's fine. If you want to lie about something, if you're in a pressure situation, you need to lie about something, the world says that's fine. Just repent of it after you're done. You know, if you... And really, I'm dumbfounded by the fact that, you know, we as Christians are looked down and basically tolerated now. And I don't understand that. It's just, we preach love, living a life of integrity, living a life of holiness, and having morals, yet we're looked down upon, and we go out of our way to walk on eggshells to protect a hateful religion. And I don't understand that as a country. It's time that we get back to living a life of integrity. It just baffles me. I mean, police officers in our country, we disrespect as a whole in our country, yet these guys risk their life every day for us. I mean, every time they go up to a car, they don't know if they're going to be shot or something, yet as a country, we mock them and ridicule them. I just don't understand some of the things that are going on. It's just stupidity, basically. But our country has gotten away from God. We've lost a lot of our morals. We've lost a lot of just our culture. I mean, we used to be a Christian nation. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that we as Christians, we're not to be like this world. In fact, it goes on to say, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." We are not, as Christians, to be like the world. Does it mean we're any better than the world? No, by no means it doesn't. We are all struggling to keep and try to walk in a straight line and walk with morals and walk with integrity. But God needs us to do that because it's how we do that. People are watching our life, and it's a way for them to see what it's like to be a Christian. So it's important that we walk like that. We need to make a stand and do everything we can to live a life of integrity. Basically, integrity means, in my hillbilly brethren going through Merriam-Webster and looking at that, integrity means doing the right thing no matter the cost. It means you are the person you are at church when you're at work. It means that we are the people in a crowd of people here that we are when we're all by ourselves. It's living with morals, having a standard that we're living by. And you know, it was funny, when I started studying this and started studying the book of Daniel, chapter 3, and then also looking at integrity, all these things, I started thinking about all these things I've done during the course of my life, good and bad. And a couple of them just to mention to you, is when I was about 27 or 28, Alice and I had just gotten married, or we were getting ready to get married, it was right about that time. And I was in a hurry to get somewhere, and procrastinator me did not get gas the night before. So here I am struggling to get around, and then I look down and my gas tank is empty. I stop and get gas at a gas station, pump my gas, and I'm realizing I'm out of time getting where I go. I jump in my car and take off. And I get about a mile down the road, and I realize, you didn't pay for your gas. And I went without question about it, I turned around, headed back to the gas station, and ran inside, and, "Ma'am, please forgive me. I'm so sorry." And she said, "You know what, I seen you pumping the..." I said, "I'm so sorry, I was in a hurry and had to get somewhere." And she said, "I seen you out pumping gas, I got busy doing something, and I didn't realize you had drove off." So I got lucky, because it's an example of good integrity, because I went back, but in that same instance there, I could have had to deal with the cops and had to explain that to them, and shaking while I'm doing it, but fortunately she hadn't called the cops. That's an example of good integrity. I made right on it and did what was right. A bad example of me as a kid, about 14 or 15 years old, Elizabeth watching me. When I was about 14 or 15 years old, I was out with some friends, and I walked into a gas station. I seen my friend steal something. I seen him do it, and I wanted to be like my friend. I stole a bag of M&Ms, a large bag of M&Ms, one of the family-sized ones, threw it in my coat, and walked out. What dumbfounds me about the thing is I wasn't a typical teenager. I always had money on me because my uncle owned a chain of stores that were similar to Big Lots. And I know I was a pain in the neck then, but I started working for him when I was about 12 years old. So just doing little things on Saturdays and stuff like that, and I began working with him. But by the time I was 16, I bought my first electronic piano and paid cash for it, about $1,500 or $1,600. My first car was a 1984 Nissan Sentra. Sounds old now, but it was only about 3 years old at the time. I paid $2,250 for that and paid cash for it. So I had money on me, but the only thing I can think of is I was trying to impress my friends and do what they were doing. And I tell you, to this day, if that gas station was open, I would go in there and try to make good on it. But that gas station was closed down and tore down. But that's a bad example right there. But every day you and I are faced with opportunities for our integrity to be put to the test. And the big question is, how are you and I going to react to those? Are you going to do like me when I was at the gas station and do what my trying to be cool and do what my friends are doing and steal something or maybe lie about something, or maybe you're in a predicament where you're out with some friends and they're doing some things that are really not appropriate, but because you're with them, you're trying to do what they're doing? The big question is how we are going to react to that. Will we give in due to the pressure of our peers, or do we think that maybe we can just ask forgiveness right later? Let's go ahead and do it and ask for forgiveness right afterwards. This morning, I want to take a few minutes here, and I want us to look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these guys put their lives on the line for the sake of keeping their integrity. The story starts out in Daniel chapter 3, and first of all, just to set this up, in Daniel 1 verse 7, Pastor Mike spoke on it a few weeks ago, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were first mentioned. They were colleagues of Daniel, and in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel gives an interpretation that he had received from the king, from God, and he gives an interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar, and because of this, King Nebuchadnezzar places him in a high up position in the kingdom. And at Daniel's request, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were placed in high places within the kingdom. And then at the beginning of Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar builds an idol. My Dake's Bible in the linear notes says about 125 foot high by 12 and a half foot wide. Thing was huge. And Nebuchadnezzar builds this idol. And he calls forth and he says to the whole area that they're all to be, if once they hear the music of different instruments, say harp, cornet, and there's several different instruments they mention, that they were to bow before that and worship this idol, worship this god. And everybody in the kingdom did as the king asked, except for three guys. I don't know where Daniel was during this. He may have been away. But the three guys that wasn't was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible doesn't say that they were trying to cause trouble, trying to be bold about it, and trying to... It doesn't say that they were trying to cause trouble by any means and say, I'm not serving that, I'm not doing that. They didn't make no big deal about it, they just didn't do it. But word got back to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was upset because he gave them one last chance in it. And I want to start reading here at Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. Verse 16 says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, Keep Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we were thrown into the blazing furnace that you threaten us with, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. The Bible says that King Nebuchadnezzar was furious about this. I mean, rightfully so. I mean, he is the king of the land. He declared something, you do it. And these guys were just blunt face saying, no, I'm not going to do it. So I'm sure that made King Nebuchadnezzar furious. And when I seen that word furious, it reminded me of my dad since it's Father's Day. I don't know how much this applies to that, but my dad, I seldom seen him mad, but I remember one time at about the age of 13 or 14, I had a 22-gauge shotgun. And different era. Now you have iPads, the kids stare at. But we played out in the woods all day and we had guns. But I sold it to a friend of mine, and I didn't have the gun for a while. My mom made me clean my room, which for all boys, that's a hard thing. But I was cleaning my room, and I found all these 22 shells sitting in my room. And I didn't know what to do with them. I'm cleaning, so I just threw them in the trash bag. Well, there was one problem with that. My dad burned the trash at that time. He had some 50-gallon drums in the back of the yard, and he was burning trash. And I'm in my room, minding my business, and all of a sudden, my dad's out there working in the air while it's burning. And all of a sudden, I hear boom, 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 boom. And under the heat of that fire, all these 22 shells started going off in the fire. And I have never seen my dad so mad in my life. He was furious with me. I mean, you want to see a dead duck, that was me. And once he figured out what he was so mad. And I pictured that when I was reading that illustration, because I had never seen my dad that mad before in my life. And I kind of tried to identify with what King Nebuchadnezzar was going through there. He was furious at them. And, you know, he had so mad at them that he ordered the oven be heated 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated. He got the strongest soldiers from his army out there to tie them up and to bind them. And the third thing King Nebuchadnezzar did there was he was so urgent about this that to put them in that fire that the soldiers that were up there, those strongest soldiers that went up there to throw them in, they fell over dead because the heat was so hot on that fire. And then I want to start reading again at verse 24. And we're going to read through the rest of the chapter here. It says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement." This is after they were in the fire. They began to walk around in the fire, and the strings, the things they were bound by became loosed. And it says, "King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, 'Weren't there 3 men there that when we tied up and threw in the fire?' And they replied, 'Certainly, Your Majesty.' He said, 'Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the fourth looks like the son of gods.' Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here.' So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors," I'm a hillbilly saying that, sorry, "crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed them, their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angels and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than to serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way.' Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon." Just 1 second here. I need to get a drink. Magnified, too, with the thing. You know, what a great story this is. It's a fantastic story, a story of the men's faith and the integrity that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. They easily could have lied or acted like they were bowing and worshiping the idol. They could have just acted like it, and then they could have walked free. But these men gave it all up for the sake of their integrity. And I want to just talk to you a few moments about what some characteristics of people with integrity have. You know, Pastor Joe mentioned last week that people of integrity, they worship the Lord. They're people that they praise the Lord. You know, they pray. And they also are people of the Word of God. But this week I just want to talk to you about a few other things that people of integrity are. The first thing is people of integrity are honest and trustworthy. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were confronted by King Nebuchadnezzar about not listening to his order to worship the idol. They told him straight up that they were not going to worship his idol or any of his gods. They didn't beat around the bush with it. They just said, we're not doing it. And honesty is a characteristic of people with integrity. It's not the same thing, obviously, because somebody could be honest about confessing that they had cheated on their spouse. But that certainly wouldn't speak about their integrity, would it? But it goes hand in hand with integrity. People with integrity are honest. You know, my full-time job is a customer service rep at a printing company. I've been doing that for about 25 years. So when I moved here, started here at the church, I had a job in printing because that's what I have my experience in. And there's times when things go horribly wrong when I'm in as a customer service rep, and I have to deal with the customers when they're doing that. And it ain't fun. But I've learned over the years, it's just better just to tell them straight up what's going on. You know, the press is broke. The color looks horrible on the job. I don't feel right releasing it to you. I would rather us reprint it and do it over again and it look better. It's just better to be straightforward about it. I know you're dealing with timelines, and a lot of times they may not be happy about it. But I find once I've talked to them about it, and usually they're not happy when I first tell them, but after a while they come back, and usually the overall process is they're happy with it. You know, they're all right with the end result. So it's just better to be honest with people and be trustworthy with them. People will respect you for doing that. Another thing people of integrity are is, and I lost my place, they're consistent. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were consistent with their integrity stance. Think about what all they went through that whole story. Someone told King Nebuchadnezzar on them. I mean, they had to appear before the king. This isn't any just Joe Schmo there. It was the king. And they had to tell him that they weren't going to worship it. Worship the idol. So they were confronted by him. And the pressure of being confronted causes most of us to want to think about lying because we don't want to deal with it. But they held tight and they stayed with it and became a person of integrity. They had to watch that oven being heated 7 times. Hotter than it normally was. I mean, that was enough right there to scare them also. Then they were bound by the strongest men. They had these big, intimidating guys that were just, that bound them up and ready to throw them in the fire. And then they had to watch those guys die because of trying to throw them in the fire. And all they had to do is say, you know what, we'll go ahead and worship the idol. But they didn't. They kept to their integrity. Throughout our lives, every one of us are going to have bad days. We're all going to be faced with times that we don't want to deal with this kind of stuff. But we need to realize that people are watching us as Christians. People are watching us in our good times when we want them to watch us. But when we're in our bad times and we're having those times we're struggling, people are still watching us because they want to see what we're going to do, how we're going to handle those situations. They want really to see a person that is consistent, having a positive behavior, and they're people that they trust. I like a quote that Will Rogers said. It says, it takes a lifetime to build a good reputation, but you can lose it in a minute. You can work your whole life to have a life of integrity, and you're walking a straight line, and you have one bad day, you can do one thing wrong, and you can lose that integrity that you have been trying to work with a person on. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. It's important that we rely on God, that we go to God and say, Lord, I need your help today. I don't feel like being a person of integrity today. I don't feel like I'm not up to it today, but I need your help to help me do this today, Lord. It's important that we rely on him. He don't want us trying to do it on our own. He wants us to rely on him in it. So people of integrity, they're honest and trustworthy. They're consistent. But another thing that people of integrity are or do is they look at the big picture on things. You know, I think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in that predicament, they were more concerned about their relationship with God and living that life of integrity than they were the circumstances that they were getting ready to go through. How many of us can say that when we get in that pressure situation, that we're thinking about pleasing God in that situation rather than we are trying to get out of that situation? God has challenged us not to be conformed to the world. You know, on September 11, 2001, we witnessed the most horrific thing that has ever happened in the United States. And if you're like me, you remember exactly where you are when that happened. That day at 9:30 in the morning, I was sitting at work at my computer, and people started talking about it. I don't know, it was about 9:30 area in the morning when people were really starting to talk about it. I think it happened between 8:30 and 9 area. And so we were all on the internet looking around trying to figure out what was going on. Work stopped that day. There was no phone calls coming in saying, I need this order done this day. There was no emails coming in saying, I need this done, I need that done. Everybody dropped what they're doing because they were stunned as a nation of what happened. And I know each and every one of us was that way. But on that day in New York City, 343 firefighters and 60 police officers, you know, the people that we talk so bad about in this country now that are protecting us, perished trying to save others. Those brave men and women showed integrity by putting others before themselves. They didn't stop and ask, what's in it for me? You know, what can I, you know, what am I going to get out of it? They seen people jumping out of high-rise buildings to their death because of the extreme heat that was in there, the fire that was in there. Yep, they didn't even question it. They knew then when they went in that it was going to be their final mission. Will possibly be their final mission. Yet they did it because they loved people. They cared about people and they knew it was their job and they did it. Jesus said so clearly, what greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for someone else? That's a person of integrity. Somebody that's willing to give up themselves. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did a similar thing because they put God before their own lives. That was their ultimate concern, was what God wanted for them. They wanted to please the Lord. When we choose to be a person of integrity, we are always striving to do the right thing. We can know that God is with us, and we do not matter what the outcome, does not matter what the outcome is. And I like what God says, is because he says, the eyes of the Lord in 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them as hearts are perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord are running all throughout the earth to be with you in circumstances you're going through. And you know, if you really think about it, God did not take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of their situation. They had to go through that situation. They had to walk through that situation. But God was with them every step of the way. And how we handle, you know, at some points in our lives, we're going to go through something that is hard. And how we handle that situation is really a show of our character. What God has been doing through our life, we need to know that God is with us, and he will walk through that situation. We need to realize that. He is going to be with us in every step of the way, just like he was with them. And really, that way that we handle that situation is going to speak volumes to a person. Whether we realize it or not, it's going to speak volumes to a person. They're going to realize, and we could possibly affect somebody's life, just like really Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego affected Daniel's life, or affected King Nebuchadnezzar's life, and he also affected the whole country's life. The whole nation was accepting the Lord as basically to worship the Lord because of that, what happened. Matthew 5:16 reads, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When we live that life of integrity, it speaks volumes to others because they see that light within us. They might not show it initially, but they will learn to trust you because they know your personality. They know you. They will watch what they talk about around you. How many people ever, you go to work and somebody says something bad and they're like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that around you. That's because you're walking with Christ. You're walking a walk with integrity, and people respect that. And it's funny to me, when I get Christians, I hear them talking about colorful little conversations, and they apologize to me when they're saying it around me. Just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean they're a Christian. We have to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. You know, in conclusion this morning, I want to end with the scripture that I started out with. I want to encourage you with the scripture I started out with. It's Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If the musicians want to go ahead and come forward. It says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It says in the scripture to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I honestly believe that a true person of integrity has to be a person of the Word. Because the Bible says that, how will I know that there was sin in my life if it wasn't for the law, the Word of God? The sin, or the Bible, is our schoolmaster. It's there to show us what we've done wrong. And we need to be a person of the Word. It says in the scripture to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We renew our mind by reading God's Word. We need to spend time with the Lord, not only in just the Word, but praying to God and spending time with the God and just focusing on Him. And worshiping the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together for a minute. I want to challenge you guys this morning in one area here. Start reading the Word of God daily. If you're not reading the Word of God daily, I want to encourage you to get a Bible plan for your phone. You can get it where it pops up on your phone, and you can read the Word of God just in short spurts each day. But I want to encourage you to do that. You can also get a plan at a Christian bookstore. But it is imperative that if we're going to live with morals and have a life of integrity and live in holiness, we need the Word of God within us. This is not a time for us to put down the Word of God. We need to spend time daily with the Word. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father, I just pray that you would speak.